Your Honor.
Mr. Shaw. May it please the court. I'm John Horn. I represent Michael James, not in his Social Security matter, which he has, but in his criminal matter. And we're here to discuss the question of whether he had a minor rather than a minimal role in the offense, whether 3 or 4 levels was more appropriate than a 2-level reduction, and why the court's ruling was clearly erroneous. The reason is, that, well, this is a factual determination, and the reason the court's ruling was incorrect is claimant's mental impairments are connected to the offense. He suffers from depression, from substance disorder involving alcohol and cocaine, an antisocial disorder, and pain. Those are the findings of the...
What is an antisocial disorder? Or do you just mean he's a criminal?
Well, that's how Judge Sagel saw it, that he interprets... Well, here he says, whenever one sees as one of the axes of the diagnoses antisocial personality disorder, it actually tends not to mitigate, it tends to aggravate.
Yeah, well, he found antisocial personality disorder is a psychiatrist phrase for the man is a habitual criminal.
Well,
not clear how that reduces his culpability.
Well, let's leave that aside and just deal with the depression, the pain, and
not clear why depression or pain makes somebody a minor as opposed to minimal as opposed to major. It does look like the guidelines ask what was the man's role in the offense, not is he in pain.
Well, the point was that there is a nexus between the impairments and the offense. The psychologist, the government psychologist, found that James has a nothing really matters much approach to life.
And do you have any cases dealing with couriers where the issue of minor versus minimal participant, and there have been many cases in this area, where the person has some issue with social adjustment? I mean, I see that as your problem. He's a courier. He went there. He knew why he was there. I mean, so usually couriers don't qualify if they know sort of the scope of the scheme and exactly what it is. It wasn't like he was tricked because, you know, he has these issues or somebody kind of misled him. I can understand that, but I haven't seen any cases you've provided that like this case at all.
To get back to the beginning of the question, the answer is no. I looked. I did not find such cases. But now, let's go back to something else you said. No. Okay? What does it mean to know? We've got a mentally impaired individual, and we've got someone who at least said to the government psychologist, he committed the offense because he was broke and depressed. The medication monitor at the MCC said he showed impaired judgment and impulse control. Okay? All this was not from some hired gun that I got.
My question stands. I don't see what any of this has to do with minimal and minor. There's a separate possibility of reductions for people who are psychotic or otherwise not able to control their acts. But you're not making that argument. What does any of this have to do in terms of the way the guidelines are actually written with the minimal versus minor determination?
What I'm saying is because he was impaired in his knowledge. He wasn't impaired in his knowledge to the point where he was incompetent. And he wasn't impaired in his knowledge to the point where he wasn't fit to stand trial. But he was impaired sufficiently that he wasn't a full participant. He was less than a full participant even at the physical level that he participated. That's our position. The evidence that supports it comes from the government sources. The psychologist and the medication monitor. He does this role. Let's say this role, the role is what it is, okay? But he's at 80% mental capacity, or such a mental capacity that's not enough to take us down to unfitness or to insanity. But he wasn't all there. There's no question about that.
Yes, and there's a separate provision in the guidelines. It's not a question of having a defense to liability. There's a separate provision in the guidelines for mental shortcomings. But you're not dealing with that. I don't see why we should confuse different functional provisions of the guidelines, and that seems to be what your argument is. And I don't see why this is any better than an argument that we should view him as having dealt with fewer grams of opium than the amount that was seized, because he's really not very smart.
It's not so much that he's not very smart, it's that his impulse control and his judgment are impaired by his mental defect. If there's nothing further, I'll reserve whatever time I have left for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Horn. Mr. Shaw.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Manish Shaw, and I represent the United States. The issue is the role in the offense, not the downward departure, which the defendant also requested on the grounds of his mental impairment. The defendant's mental impairments were considered by the district court in deciding the motion for downward departure, and that motion was denied.
Let me ask you, just trying to find a line here between these 2-point, 4-point, and that in the middle, if you can't figure out if you're a minor or a minimal participant, you get 3 points. What, if anything, could you subtract from what he did that would move him into either the 3 or 4 point range?
I think the most readily available analogy is the one drawn by the district court, which was he would be a minimal participant if he were the person who just bought a plane ticket for a drug courier and handed that ticket to the courier, but didn't necessarily know the other people involved in the importation offense. But
that's pretty important thing to do, though.
It is absolutely an important thing to do.
So, I mean, how do you draw the line in these kinds of cases? This is pretty baffling stuff, I think.
Well, the guidelines direct the courts to consider the defendant's relative culpability with respect to the other participants in the offense, and the touchstone would be, does he know the scope of the enterprise? Does he have knowledge of the other participants and what they're doing? And there's no question that the words in the definition of minimal participant, that is plainly the least culpable, and the definition for minor role, which is among the less culpable participants, are relatively vague, and we rely on the district courts to make these kinds of factual judgments as they see case after case, and in part the reason why on appellate review, the question here is whether there was a clear mistake, clearly erroneous decision by the district court to decide that here we have a courier who traveled halfway across the globe to bring 9 kilos of opium into Chicago, and he was given a minor role adjustment, a 2-level adjustment for his role as just a courier in this offense. It's up to the district court to decide whether there's something less than that kind of participation which justifies minimal participation. And here the district court looked at the fact pattern he was presented with, drew an analogy to someone he viewed would be a minimal participant, decided that that's not this defendant.
Until recently in this circuit, this defendant wouldn't have been legally eligible for any reduction at all. It's only an amendment to the Sentencing Commission's note that made couriers eligible, legally open, eligible for a reduction.
That's absolutely correct. In the prior world, especially in this circuit, this defendant would not have been entitled to a minor role adjustment at all. And the problem then rises.
Well, it doesn't seem very likely that by making the defendant eligible for a minor role, the commission compels the district judge to hand out a minimal role reduction.
I think that's absolutely correct, Your Honor. And the task now for the district judges in the world where a defendant is potentially eligible, a courier is potentially eligible for a minor role adjustment, even though the courier is only being held responsible for the drugs the courier transported, the district judges are going to have to decide when do we say a courier is minor, because he's not precluded from that adjustment. But for purposes of this case, the question is whether he was minimal, and the district court was clearly correct and not clearly erroneous. And for those reasons, this court should affirm the defendant's sentence. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Horn?
One of the cases cited by the government, United States versus Crowley, mentioned that the Sentencing Commission has stated its intention and that it's measuring culpability. And that's what our argument goes to, culpability. We say that because of his mental impairments, he was less culpable. Thank you. Unless there are any questions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Horn. We appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment and the assistance you've been to your client and us. The case is taken under advisement.